Your Bibles to the book of Proverbs this evening. If I can find my notes, there we go. Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to look at one verse here. And I hope your fingers are limber this evening. We're going to be going over a lot of scripture. Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 27. It says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." The first character trait we'll look at in detail will be diligence. We'll go over diligence this evening. Let's open with the word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you explained to us how you desire for us to live, and the ideals, the traits, the ways that we ought to follow you. And Lord, as we open your word this evening, I pray that you would open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Who would like to throw out some meanings of diligence? Help me out here. What does diligence mean to you?
Punctual.
Punctual? Yeah, that's definitely a part of it.
Hard work.
Hardworking.
Consistent.
Being consistent. Anybody else? Pardon?
Finishing a job.
Finishing a job. Yep. Anybody else? Pardon?
Dependable.
Dependable, yeah. Very much part of it.
Enthusiastic,
yes. Anybody else? All right. All of those are very good definitions or synonyms of diligence. Real quickly, I'd like to go through the dictionary definition. Diligence is constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. It is persistent exertion of body or mind, and it is carefulness in proper completion, as in due diligence. These are all very excellent, not only definition, but also excellent description of what diligent is. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. There you have finished the job. You have being dependable. And what I find interesting about all the definitions of diligence is all the words that are used are also very important words, aren't they? It's constant and earnest effort to accomplish what's undertaken. Not just an effort, not just give it your best shot, but it is constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. What you start, you do, to put it in colloquial language, your dead level best to see it through, to get it done. The next there was persistent exertion. You think, well, those are big words. Those are weighty words, if you will. And yeah, they are. But diligence is just that kind of thing. It persistent, continual. You're not going to quit until something's accomplished. That was already covered in the first one. But exertion, not just a ho-hum attitude, not just that, you know, by and by it'll come. I'll get around it. It's on my to-do list, and I'll do a little bit here and a little bit there, and it'll be done eventually. No, it's exertion. What does exertion mean?
Getting
tired. Exactly. You're getting worn out doing something, but exertion is, you know, you're getting tired because of something that you've accomplished, right? It's not just a tired for no particular reason. It's you've accomplished something. You've exerted yourself. It is persistent exertion of body or mind. Not just our body, not just physical labors, but also mental, and I would go another step and say spiritual. Because you'll find that diligence in the scripture always covers both physical and spiritual realms. And thirdly there, carefulness in proper completion. Diligence is carefulness in proper completion. And there we have the term, do your due diligence. Do as in D-U-E, the diligence that is necessary. That is speaking of carefulness and proper completion. Not just, well, I'm going to get this job done real fast, and as long as I slap these things together and it looks all right, then whew, I got it done. And the next wind comes up and then your house falls apart because it wasn't done properly. That's when I sold houses for auction.com, we always stated before every single house, buyer beware, do your own due diligence. Because all we were doing was we were just representing the banks and the insurance companies, and they were just getting rid of the house. So it was up to the buyer to know what the status of the title was, what kind of liens were on the house. They couldn't, once they bought the house, they couldn't come back and say, well, we didn't know there was a $50,000 contractor's lien still against this house. They were supposed to know that ahead of time. It wasn't our responsibility. We had to remind them every single house that that's not part of what we do. We weren't a title company. We weren't a lien company. We were just representing the banks. So it is carefulness in proper completion, that ahead of time you know what you're getting into so that you're not left holding a surprise bag or something to that effect. Now, diligence in such a case, if you're left with a, you know, that surprise, diligence will continue through. We'll seek to correct that situation and keep the response. We won't just say, well, I didn't know, so forget this. It will continue with responsibility to finish. But complete diligence looks at the situation before getting involved. It entails that carefulness. So back in our text, Proverbs 11:27, says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Proverbs is full, as we know, of showing us both sides of the picture. You have a diligent man, and he will procure favor. Favor will be gotten to him. Procure is not that he's going around looking for a pat on the back, but to procure is something that comes as a result. It's not something that wasn't the end goal, but it comes. It's one of the benefits that comes along with. That's what procure means. So the diligent is seeking good. He's seeking to do it right. He's seeking to do things well. He's seeking to do good to those around him. And because of that, one of the benefits is favor. People begin to say, hey, that person's a diligent person. Hey, this person's dependable. Hey, this person we can count on. We can trust. We can have assurance that this person is will do what we need done. That favor is a benefit that just comes along with the diligent. On the flip side, he that seeketh mischief, well, he'll find it, won't he? It shall come unto him. Not just, and we need to also realize in the light of the Proverbs, it's the sense that this is written, he that seeketh mischief on someone else, it's going to come back on him. If we're seeking to mess with somebody's life or with somebody's work or whatever it might be, guess what? Something's going to happen in our life. And a lot of times it'll happen because we were so busy meddling over here that we weren't taking care of our own things. We weren't being diligent in what we had responsibility. And then, oh, my life just fell apart. Why? Well, we were too busy somewhere else. He that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So, I missed one thing there with procureth favor. You will see, as we look at diligence, it is favor both of men and of God. Let's look at diligence in three aspects, and they are all kind of interchangeable. The first and the last ones mostly are interchangeable. The middle one I'm just going to throw in there because it's a good thought, but it kind of fits in with the last one. First of all, let's look at diligence in regard to life. It is important, and God desires that we be diligent in our pursuits in life. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Now, kids, this is an important verse to memorize and make part of your life. Whatsoever, anything your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Not haphazard, not just enough to squeak by, but put your heart and soul into it. Put your back into it. Do it with your might. Do it with the best of your ability, and if you don't know how, learn. If you're given a task, it's something your hand has been found to do, do it with your might. And there's a reason given. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. God created you and I to be diligent creatures. And he gave us this span of life to learn to do that. He gave us this span of life to practice and achieve and understand what diligence is all about. But God made, you can't say, "Well, I'm just not cut out to be that kind of person. I'm, you know, my mind runs on 10 tracks at once. I just can't focus." Or, you know, I don't have the prowess that somebody else has, or I don't have the abilities, or I don't have the strength. It doesn't matter. God created you to be diligent. He created each one of us to have a diligent life. No, you might not have the same abilities as somebody else. You might not have the same strengths, but you also don't have the same weaknesses. But God created you to be diligent in whatever your hands find to do. And that also entails seeking it out. Going back to Proverbs, it says, "He that seeketh good." Diligence is not something that is just whatever happens to come your way. It's seeking it out. Looking for, and it, here it says, "What thy hand findeth to do." It is looking for the right thing to be done in your life. Now let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at a handful of verses here. Again, we're looking primarily at diligence in regard to this physical life in these first few. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." The sluggard, that's a guy, and it says the sluggard desireth. The sluggard in Proverbs is always, he's not just a lazy man. He's a lazy dreamer. He's one who wants. He wants to be just the same as the rich man. He wants the same comforts. He wants the same luxuries. He wants the same achievements. He wants the same fame. But the difference is he'll do nothing about it. Just sit there and want. That is the sluggard. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. We can dream all day. But last time I checked, the greatest ideas that you can have don't do anything for you if you don't do anything about them, do they? Tiffany sometimes bugs me and she says, if I got a dollar for every idea I could come up with, then we'd be rich. And I'll tell you, I'm real good at ideas. But it's not until you put feet to those ideas that something happens, is it? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So here again, it's talking about the soul, the innermost parts of your life. So you can say again, where your dreams are, where your ideas come from, where the direction of your life is formed. But there's a difference here. It's the diligent man. Those ideas, the directions of his life are formed, and he says, yes, I can do this. And he doesn't just say, I can do it. He goes out and does it. And he doesn't just go out and do it. He finishes the task. And being he's a diligent man, probably by the time he's finished, it's better than the idea he began with. Because as he's gone, he's learned. And he's altered it to the best possible result. That's what diligence does. As it shall be made fat. Now, it's not the idea to, you know, get old and fat and rich and lazy. No. Because if your whole goal is to get, you know, rich, fat, and lazy, then you've missed the point of diligence, haven't you? You're saying you're working to the end of being lazy. That goes right back to the sluggard's desire. See, the sluggard, even when he does something, he's only looking forward to quitting. Where the diligent, his desire is the achievement, is finishing the task well. Chapter 10 of Proverbs and verse 4. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You say, oh boy, here again it says, if I'm diligent, I'll be rich. Well, you may be. But again, it is the sluggard's heart that says, I'm going to work until I can quit. I'm going to work until I'm rich and then I'm done. Where the diligent, it's written here as a benefit, same as procureth favor. It comes along with the achievement. It wasn't necessarily the diligent's goal to get rich. Honestly, many diligent men and women will become rich. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's what you do with that that's bad, but that's another topic. But if your whole idea is, I'm going to be diligent just so I can be rich, fat, and lazy, Proverbs, as you read through it, says that's the sluggard's idea. So be careful. The diligent says, I will do this well and to the end, for the achievement's sake, because that is the right thing to do. I will do this for God's glory. I will do this for the benefit of others. I will do this because it is the right thing. That is the mindset of the diligent. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Oh, goody, goody. If I'm diligent, I'll be the boss. Everybody will have to listen to me. Everybody will have to do it my way. So I'll be the diligent person so that I can be the boss. That's, again, you're looking at it for the wrong means to the end, or the wrong end. You know which way I mean. The fact of the matter, again, it's Proverbs. He's writing in facts. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. You go to work at a job where there's levels, where there's excuse me, where there's seniority. You know, seniority isn't usually handed out to the guy who just barely punches in his 8 hours, is it? The seniority isn't usually handed out to the guy who says, "Well, the book says all I have to do is move 7 boxes an hour. So, as long as I move 7 boxes an hour, I'm doing all that I'm paid to do. So, I can sit and chat with my buddies or chat with my coworkers, or hey, I can get on Facebook because I moved 7 boxes this hour. Oh, hour's up, so now I'll go move another 7 boxes. I use that illustration because my granddad actually worked in the place like that, and I don't know if it was 7 boxes an hour, but they had a quota to meet. And he said, everybody else in the warehouse, they only worked their quota. My granddad said the quota was set so low, he used just working at a normal pace. He usually, double or tripled the quota in his shift. Well, under that particular union at that time, the rules were set up so no favor could be given to him necessarily. But guess what? His boss figured out ways around the system to give him extra perks. Why? Well, because his boss knew that they were paying this guy the exact same as all the other guys, and yet this guy was doing the work of 3 men. And so, if he needed an extra day off, sure. He's already, in comparison with these others, he's already worked, 3 times that. So pay him for a day off. But again, in a work situation where it would be by seniority, the people who are diligent in their labor are typically the ones who they become the managers. They become the CEO. They become the inspector. Why? Because they were diligent in their labor, and somebody that had previously been diligent said, yes, here's somebody that knows how to do the job and how to lead in getting it done. So again, it's not working for that position. It's working diligently, and it's a benefit that comes along. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." A man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings. As I was going through this afternoon, read this verse, and I had to think of our last election. And you can think about that for just a moment and see where that goes. You have 2 main runners, and you have two results that there's so many ways fit just simple biblical precepts. And the scripture says, if we're diligent in our business, then this goes along with the last verse. You'll stand in important places. Maybe not before a king. We don't have a king here. But you'll stand in important places. There will be procured favor. There will be success. And again, I got to be diligent so that I have success in my life. That's true. But it all goes back to we need to be diligent because that's what God created us to be. And we're to be diligent to achieve what we're working at. And if nothing else, we're to be diligent to achieve the fact, the position, the character trait that God created us for. Because He did create each one of us to be diligent people. Now I want to go into more of the spiritual side. We're going to look at one verse here real quick in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 regarding the assurance of salvation. Did you know that diligence affects the assurance of your salvation? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, this does not mean, and I know some people will try to twist this around in verse 12 and say verse 11. And I can't read. Verse 10. Some people will try to twist that around and say that that you can lose your salvation. If you're not diligent in doing what God says, well then you'll lose your salvation. That's not what this means. Not when you keep it in context. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Guess what? If you go back over the last few verses and you add, as it says, adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. If you're diligently adding those things to your life, guess what? You don't have time to fall. The temptations aren't as strong because that's not where your focus is. Your focus is on the things of God. The temptation to be intemperate isn't as strong because you're diligently working on temperance. Not to figuring, okay, I'm temperate right now, so I don't have to work on that anymore. No, diligence is seeing it through to the end. These things affecting our spiritual life, the end means the day that God calls you home. Not just when you think you've got this one down pat, but the day that we drop this flesh and rise to glory. And we're made perfect for all eternity. It says here, it says, if he that lacketh these things, again, which started with diligence, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What happens to bring you to the point where you're doubting your salvation? Usually when you forgot what God has done for you. Usually when you're in a place where you're not remembering the things that have happened in your Christian life. You're not remembering the blessings that God has given you. You're not remembering the things that He has taught. You're too focused on maybe your shortcomings. Maybe extra events going on around you. Just other things not on the Word of God and not on the work of the Holy Spirit. You've forgotten these things, and you've forgotten that you were purged from sins. It says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." That's what this "sure" is talking about. It's assurance. You have the opportunity to build the assurance of salvation in your life when we're diligent the way God created us to be. So let's look at a few verses on how diligence is to affect our spiritual life in Christian service. And again, all those in regards to physical life, you can get a spiritual parallel with them. And also with these that are in regards to our spiritual life, there is definitely a physical parallel to them. Turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Now that seems pretty closely worded to Ecclesiastes 9:10, doesn't it? Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. You see, not only is it a parallel, or another step further from Ecclesiastes 9:10, but it also gives you the proper perspective for all those verses about diligence in Proverbs, doesn't it? As to the Lord and not unto men. You see, when we're diligent for the purpose of a pat on the back, procuring favor, or when we're diligent for the purpose of being rich, or when we're diligent for the purpose of standing before kings, guess what? All those things means we're doing it unto men. The men there might be yourself, or it might be somebody else that you just really want that person to look well on you. But if that's the high point of your diligence, God says there's a much greater, higher, and purer goal. Do it as unto the Lord and not unto man. Not only is it a higher and purer goal, but it is more empowering in all areas of diligence as we have unto the Lord as our goal. He comes alongside and He assists us, doesn't He? He sees that and He says, "Yes, I see your heart and I will help." The Bible shows that clearly. Now going back to 2 Peter, I know we were just there, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, I want to look at that verse one more time. It is the prerequisite for Christian growth. It says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," and it continues on down the list. But it doesn't just say, be diligent in learning how to be honoring to God. It doesn't just say, be diligent in learning how to live the Christian life. It says, besides this, giving all diligence. Every ounce of diligence you have, every ounce that you can find, and every ounce that you can possibly figure out how to gain. It is vitally important that you pour that into your Christian growth, into your walk with God, into adding these character traits that follow into your life. This is one of the verses, one of the reasons I began these looks at character traits with diligence. This is where this starts. Every ounce that you can find needs to be poured into your Christian growth. It is a prerequisite. And also in chapter 3 of 2 Peter in verse 14, says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." If we're looking for these things, looking for spiritual growth, it says, as much as you're looking, be diligent. Turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I know the word diligent or diligence is not used in this verse, but you'll see as we looked at the definitions of diligence to begin with, that's what this verse is talking about, isn't it? Study to show thyself approved. What kind of studying would that be? Well, it would be diligent studying, wouldn't it? This is, excuse me, one that is rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that take? Well, that takes diligence, doesn't it? This verse is all about applying diligence to our Christian life. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." A parallel to Colossians 3:23. And he doesn't use the word diligence, but every description of it, doesn't he? Steadfast, continuing to the end. Unmovable, nobody's changing the course. Always abounding. That implies the diligent man who's going further. You know, by the time he's accomplished the goal, it's so much bigger than the idea was to begin with. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then we see that it is as unto the Lord, as much as ye know. There's a knowledge there that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Works done unto God. Doesn't matter what kind of backlash you get. Doesn't matter who might laugh at you. Doesn't matter who might ignore you. God knows. And if we're doing it unto the Lord, He takes account. And He credits it in His own perfect way. Turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Again, diligence in serving God. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Again, God takes note and credits it in His own perfect way. We will reap. It might not be until we stand before Him in glory. But if we're doing it as unto the Lord, if we're doing what we see and what we know from Scripture is right in His eyes, He takes note. Jude verse 3. I always used to say chapter 1 just to keep myself from saying chapter 3, but Jude verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, you see, the diligence of Jude caused him to desire and see the necessity of diligence in the lives of other Christians, didn't it? It caused him to see that it had effect in his life, that it had an important place in his walk with God. And he saw that it was a need among other believers. He says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. In other words, you should also be diligent for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So we see through the scripture, and there are more verses. I'd encourage you to study them on your own, to make a family study out of it. I'm really hoping that with each of these studies, we can take them home and go over them with our families because they're important. excuse me. But Scripture says that diligence is important in regards to our life. It's important in regards to our assurance of our salvation. It's important in regards to our growth, our Christian service, our spiritual life. And it is also important that we encourage and teach diligence in the life, in others around us. We must teach and exemplify diligence. It's not something that you can... This has to be something where our walk matches our talk. We can't just say, well, you ought to be diligent while we sit around and do nothing. It has to be something that we teach and exemplify. And it has to be something that is an active part of our life because God created us. You know, a lot of character traits, like I said to begin with, they stick out better with some people, or they work better with some personalities or life situations, or you can come up with any way you want to say that. But this, with diligence, the scripture is pretty clear. God wants it in every one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that not only do you ask this of us, but you help us to accomplish it in our lives. Lord, that the Bible says here that you take account and you come alongside us and encourage us and lift us up and lead us on the way. And Father, we ask that you would do just that, and you'd help us to learn this diligence, and most of all that we would be diligent in our walk with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.